There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. You know, thinking about the show intro, the classic show intro to Midday Mobile that features the late Alvin Holmes talking about what's wrong with the beer we got. Thinking about it, this session when they've been arguing about the ready-to-drink pre-mixed drinks, once again, the state is doing... It makes no sense. They're saying, well, we can't have these... You can only sell these pre-mixed, like they're like a pre-mixed gin and tonic. I know they make a margarita one because I've had one before. They were tasty. They can't sell these at grocery stores, only at, you know, the ABC or whatever, because the alcohol level is so high. But the alcohol level is not higher than wine that's sold at the store. It makes no sense. But hopefully somebody will say something ridiculous in the legislature arguing against these ready-to-go drinks. And I can add that to the show intro and mix it. So we get the old with the new. It'll be fun. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by my friend Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. The thing that Clint lured me in to the world of e-bikes was, because he knows I like to hunt, I like to turkey hunt. And he said, man, what do you think you could do with this for turkey hunting? And that got me interested in an e-bike. And I ride it's a manufacturer called Magnum. I ride the Scout is the bike. It's got the off-road tires, the heavier suspension, all that. And I went from just thinking, okay, this will be something I do for turkey season, which, by the way, how have y'all done so far? This morning was my first morning, and it was pretty quiet. But riding the bike went from that to becoming something I do weekly, many times a week, for exercise. And you say, well, how are you getting exercise on an e-bike? I think I've told y'all this before. Mine has like an eco-assist mode. You could actually turn it completely off, but I leave it in eco mode. So if I'm on a sand road or going up a hill, it can kick in, give you a little boost, and you say, well, you're getting less exercise. Well, if it was a regular bike, I'd get tired of that, and I wouldn't ride it. With the e-bike, I ride more often and ride for longer because of that little bit of assist, and I get more exercise. Now, it does work great for being quiet and stealthy in the woods. People use them for all kinds of things. Talked to people the other day, more than once, but this was just last week. Somebody said, I heard you talking about using it for a camper. We do the same thing. They go on vacation with a camper. Instead of towing a car, they tow two, or they put two e-bikes in there. And once they get the camper set up, they use the e-bikes to go get groceries, go to town. Listen, Adventure Earth Bicycles, they have 400 in stock at any time of non-e-bikes. Yeah, if you want to pedal all the thing yourself, they got those too. They've got road and triathlon bikes. They got hybrids. They've got mountain bikes. They've got the kids' BMX bikes. Everything already put together too. You don't have to get a box of parts. The bikes are put together and tuned before you even pick them up. But at any time, 50 e-bikes in stock for you to come in and test ride and see what I've been yapping about all these years and how much fun an e-bike is. Manufacturers beyond just the Scout brand that I have, Aventon, Fuji, Ufree, Denago, so many more. All e-bikes in selection can be test ridden. Find the bike that's for you. And also, he's got great deals going on through the end of this month. All bodies on bike sale, select bikes on sale, e-bikes up to 50% off right now at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Go see him in person, the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. Adventure-earth.com is the website. But yeah, see it in person. Take that test ride and see what got me back to riding bicycles in my 50s. You're going to love it. Check it out. All right. Without much further ado, because there's been a lot of further ado, I could talk to my friend Erica Thomas from 1819 News. Hey, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. You and I talked off the air a second ago. This P. Diddy thing, I just wrote in my show notes this morning. I said, P. Diddy list, is this what we're given instead of the full Epstein list? I mean, it's like a... It's P. Diddy. Now it's Cuba Gooding Jr. It's some preacher in Dallas. There are more names come out. What? Like, is this what goes on when you make all this money? Is this what you you go to because you got extra time. I don't get it. I mean, this is creepy stuff. I mean, Pete, and then there's all these stories about the time he spent with Justin Bieber, and I guess Justin Bieber was hanging out with Usher. Give me a break. And then went to P. Diddy. Ugh, this is...
Yeah, I mean, definitely gives, like, creeper vibes, but we have to remember nobody's been convicted yet. And
you're right.
It all started with an ex-girlfriend making allegations.
True.
And then
thank you for a woman saying that. Yes, thank you for... I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm always skeptical about things. At the same time, you want to respect victims, and it does seem like there's some smoke in this fire, So, my thing about this whole situation is, why is anyone surprised? I've been hearing P. Diddy songs since I was pretty young, and if you pay attention to what he's saying in his lyrics, what he sings about, and even just his actual life, his past. He was born and raised in Harlem. His dad was murdered during a drug deal when he was only like 2 years old. This is the life that he sings about. This is his actual life that he lives, and it is a life of crime that he sings about.
But
so
wait a second.
Why anybody would be shocked?
I know. I'm going to tell you why you'd be shocked, because if it came out that. You know, that it was drug running or that kind of, I don't know. And I don't know that they, but we're talking about messing with kids. You grow up in Harlem, people in Harlem aren't messing with kids. I mean, some are, but it's not like a thing in Harlem. It's not a thing. And I don't get it.
I'm talking about the drug stuff.
Well, the drug stuff is one thing. Let's talk, but the thing that got my attention, and they're relating it back to all these other people, is that there were like underage kids and stuff. I have no comprehension what the, is going on here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sick world out there. There's sick people. He is connected to criminals, and I just feel like if you lead that life, that criminal life, and you objectify human beings and think of them as property, I mean, and that's also in the lyrics of his songs. You know, they in their music videos, they're not children, they're adults, but they still have that idea that a human body is just property for them to use however they want. And so, I mean, it's just not, to me, it's disgusting if these things are true, but I will always say if until there's a conviction or actual proof, because you know there's been situations throughout the years where things are said about people that aren't true, especially when one thing comes out.
No, thank you. And you're bringing some reason to the conversation that the allegations came that way. It just seems like there's so many names being named now. I don't know. Well, but you're right. Even if you get shocked by this, maybe sit back and get more facts. You're reminding me of things I remind myself of on other stories that I didn't do here, so I appreciate that. Thank you for the reset.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I always try to be that way, you know, as a reporter. I don't want to convict people. I don't want to say, and I'm just, it's kind of bred in me to be that way and be skeptical of everything.
It is for me 99% of the time, but obviously I tripped and fell down on this one. I don't know why, but thank you for pointing that out. Hey, listen, constructive criticism I always take. Correction made. All right, host of stories to get to. You're cranking out many stories over at 1819news.com. I want to visit one we talked about, I think, last week, and you kind of filled in the story. I didn't really know much about this story. Just had heard a little bit about it in the past, and then you were telling me about this Mountain Gateway situation where in Nicaragua they arrested people with this, was it a church or a Christian outreach, and then what's happening with our senators from Alabama? What's the update here?
Yes, this is a Christian nonprofit organization that trains and builds churches and then teaches people how to be pastors of those churches. And they do operate in Nicaragua. But the founder, John Britton Hancock, is from Alabama. He's from Pittston, Alabama. And in December, there were 13 of them were arrested. Two of them were attorneys, and the rest were all pastors that had been trained by Mountain Gateway. And when they were arrested, they weren't told why. They were told it could be because of organized crime or money laundering. They were never given official paperwork, and to this day, they have not been able to contact anybody on the outside of prison in Nicaragua. And so John Britton Hancock started speaking out about this. We did a story, 1819 News, about how he's always worked with the Nicaraguan government, and then all of a sudden this religious persecution happened, and he believes it's because they had a huge series of events over the summer, and hundreds of thousands of people came out and were introduced to Christ.
So they were okay with them until they were successful, right?
Yeah,
is that basically the takeaway?
They were okay with them when they were doing, you know, a lot of help, when they were rebuilding after disasters and offering different programs in Nicaragua for people. And then when it started getting real, they were, and I mean, he's been doing this for 9-10 years over there. And all of a sudden when they started bringing a lot of people to the Lord, and those people realized they had an outlet other than the Nicaraguan government, yeah, they didn't like that.
What effect have our senators had here?
Well, last week, Tuberville and Britt, Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt, both came out and said they were part of a letter to the Biden administration, and they said, we want sanctions put on the Nicaraguan government. This week, they went further and introduced a resolution. They are 2 of 4 senators on this resolution condemning the Nicaraguan government. So basically, that's just saying, hey, they're not doing this, isn't right. They shouldn't be doing this. But it is another step to allow people in Washington to see what's going on, because they want these pastors and these attorneys that are just doing the Lord's work to be released. Let them go. And even John Britton Hancock himself has a warrant in Nicaragua and could go to prison if he goes back there.
Wow. Okay. So But are there any teeth to this? I mean, I'm glad there's resolutions here in condemning Nicaraguan government. Are we calling for, taking the money away from Nicaragua? What do we do to, I don't know that the Biden administration would do any of it, but.
No, I mean, a resolution is just what that is. You know, it's like a proclamation almost.
Right.
There's no action here. The action is that our senators in Alabama are trying their best to get the attention of the whole so that something can be done. But there is an attack, and this is what John Britton Hancock said, there's an attack worldwide against Christians right now. They're just really dealing with a lot of persecution like this. And I don't think right now Washington is going to put on the armor of God to protect these people, and that's very sad.
I think that's probably a safe bet, even in Alabama, where we're not allowed to bet. All right. I want to talk about this as well. Headline here. So Attorney General Marshall was in South Baldwin, right? Came to Foley?
Yes, he was here yesterday in town.
Okay. And you wrote about a lot of things he talked about, but what made the headline here was A.G. Marshall, I never thought I would have to litigate who's a boy and who's a girl. What is the litigation portion of this? I mean, I understand the politics of it. What's he having to litigate?
Yeah, so Steve Marshall yesterday, he was at the South Baldwin Republican Women's Club luncheon. They have a monthly luncheon. And by the way, for anybody listening that wants to come here a lot about 1819 News, our CEO, Brian Dawson, will be at that luncheon next month. I believe it's April 23rd, and he has an incredible story. So
got that
if anybody
right.
wants to come join, we will be at that. And that's at the Gift Horse Restaurant in Foley. But it's going to be a great time. But back to Steve Marshall. He was the guest speaker this month, and he really did. He started talking about how he's having to take part in fighting against federal dollars coming with strings attached to only organizations and agencies that support the transgender beliefs. You know, if you have to support gender-affirming language and care for minors if you're a school, or you're not going to get all this free lunch money, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that's always the problem, right? I mean, you take federal money, it comes with strings.
It does. And for that to be part of that now, it's not something we've seen before. It's usually, this is a new thing, the transgender, gender affirming, you know, 98 gender options, all that stuff. This is all pretty new. And so Marshall has spent some time going against the Department of Agriculture. And their issue is they give money for these lunch programs to schools nationwide. And they want the definition of gender to change and gender identity to be acknowledged. And so Marshall really led the fight on this with several other attorney generals calling on change to this. This is still something in progress. And so that's why he said yesterday, he just said, I never thought I would have to litigate, you know, who's a boy and who's a girl. He said, for years, we've had boy sports and girl sports, and there's never been an issue. But he doesn't believe that the girls should play in boy sports and that boys should play in girl sports. He doesn't think they should intermingle in locker rooms, and he's going to stand for that.
Okay. By the way, side note, we could talk about this later, but I was at Dolphin Island Sea Lab camp with my son, family camp over the weekend. And one of the other families that was there, mother and her son, she homeschools. And I got a little time to talk with her. I said, you know, what do you think about the you know, the Choice Act and the ESA? She said that they're split in the homeschool world. I'm going to land this plane in a second. They're split in the homeschool world about this money that's being offered from the ESA. Because just like we talked about at a federal level, she said, not all, but she said herself and you know, quite a few others that she knows are worried about getting money from the state as homeschoolers because they think it's going to come with strings the way the federal money comes with strings when it comes to a state. I just thought that was interesting that homeschoolers out there you would think would be, hooray, we're going to get $7,000 or actually it's $2,500, I think, for homeschool, $3,500. And she said, now we'd rather not take the money than risk having the state tell us what to do. I just, that stood out to me. I thought, of course, she would love it. And she said, eh, I don't think so. So I thought that was
Yeah, that is a very interesting, I haven't really thought about that. Would this being kind of a KIV push thing? I don't think that would be, I don't think that.
But you know, just how people get, I mean, if you watch this, I mean, way back when I remember talking about highway funds and the reason why states were turning their drinking age to 21, right? Because they were National Highway and Traffic Administration was withholding funds to states who didn't. I think the final capitulation there in Louisiana, where you used to be able, still when I was in high school, you could drink at 18 in New Orleans. But yeah, those things, they're like, yeah, if you want this money, you're going to do this, you're going to change this, and that may have been for the better. But there's a lot of times that it's not. So
yeah,
it's just interesting. All right, and wrap up here. I got about a minute and a half left, but I think this is absolutely, I want y'all to read all these stories, but this Alabama father invents an opioid alternative following the death of a son. First of all, it's a very sad story here, but what's the silver lining on this?
Well, since we don't have a lot of time, everybody please go to 1819news.com and check this story out. It's amazing. Long story short, Tom Dooley of Clay, Alabama, he lost his son in 2017, found him dead in the basement of his home from an opioid overdose. And he's a biomedical expert. He's developed medications throughout the years. And so he used his experience and his knowledge and what he's learned since the early 80s and developed a new class of drugs. It's called Panax, and it's a combination of a beta blocker and basically a motion sickness medication. And this is not FDA approved yet. That process takes years, but he's really hoping that will happen very soon, because this new class of drugs could save lives and still give people, when it comes to anxiety, the relief that they need.
That'd be a great thing. And from an Alabama inventor, y'all check all that out over at 1819 News. And Erica, if they want to reach out to you directly, how do they do it?
You can email news at 1819news.com or erica.thomas@1819news.com.
I appreciate you as always, and thanks for the reset on P. Diddy.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Yeah, coming up, if Erica's not listening, then I can go back to talk about P. Diddy. Reading some of y'all's texts on that. If she's listening, I'm not going to get a gold star on today's show. Oh, well. Make it through. Speaking of gold stars, or at least great Google reviews, it's with pride to to hear y'all's responses to the service you get with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So Trey's a friend of mine, homeboy. And like I said the other day, he's been doing this, I guess, a year and a half longer than we launched this station, which we're coming up on our 15th birthday, May 1st around here. And they said I wouldn't make it 15 months. So we're coming up on the 15th birthday. But Trey has been doing this for 16, 17 years, getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin County. And you can go look at the reviews, give like Google reviews, independent reviews, and see people you know, names you know, people you work with, friends, people you go to church with that have used the services of 1-800-GOT-JUNK at their homes, at storage units. And a lot of times those stories will be like, I had to get this done right away. Right, they're showing a house, selling a house, something like that, or trying to get out. They're leaving town, getting you know, storage unit cleaned out because they're moving across town. Whatever it is, these kind of last minute things, he can handle that too. Now you can make an appointment way ahead of time, but you can always look for a spot tomorrow, you know, or by the weekend. You do that when you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll find out when you need the service and when you can do it. They make the appointment. You're there. They're there. You point at the stuff you want gone. They quote you a price on the spot and get to work if you say yes right then and get it done. So we've used them. Storage units, houses, radio stations, and plenty of other places being de-junked. So if you're ready to do that and get that junk out of your way, use my buddy who's been doing it now 16, 17 years here, Trey, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, coming right back after the news, more Midday Mobile. We'll get your calls and text at 343-0106. Plus, I got a bacon story. Bacon in the news. I am going to send this story to my son who doesn't like real crispy bacon. So wait till you're going to really cook your bacon once you hear this.
This one.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And on this Holy Week, too, we'll talk about hours for or days open going ahead. What's y'all's schedule moving forward to this weekend?
So that we will be closed Friday. So Good Friday will be closed, and we'll be reopening Monday. So we're closed from Good Friday through Easter on a three-day weekend like many businesses, thank goodness. And we'll let people know they still got time to come by and grab little egg stuffers. People hide those plastic eggs in the yard, and they can put different items in there for youngsters to find, like copper rounds and maybe one-tenth or one-quarter ounce silver rounds. Very affordable. Makes it a lot of fun for kids, not just finding, you know, Easter eggs they could eat, but stuff with some goodies inside.
Yeah, the eggs say, hey, kids, there's some that just have candy out here, and there's some that have gold or silver in them.
Yeah, and with 1 gram gold, you can get some small pieces of gold, you know, for the main egg prize, stuff like that. And lots of Easter-related jewelry and Easter bunny-type stuff, all sorts of cool stuff that Anna made sure we were stocked up for Easter. So those items are still available. Get them while it lasts. We'll be open today till 5 and tomorrow till 5. And like we said, we'll be closed on Good Friday.
All right. So people that said, okay, yeah, I got to do something, get that ready for Easter, who have never been there before, shame, shame, but how they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown, just down the street from Little Flower Catholic Church. They can find us online at mobilebaycoins.com or give us a call at the shop, 251-725-1590.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, Ron checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, you got the hippity-hoppity coming up this weekend with Easter. All right, this story I'm going to read. I read this text from Doesn't Have Meta to just start this off, and then we'll get to the story. A couple food stories, food stories in the mix here. So Doesn't Have Meta said, Sean, you have one of those communists who doesn't like crispy bacon in your house, too? How do you cope with it? I pull the bacon out for the boy, sometimes a little bit earlier, and I do, you know, I got to admit to y'all, got to be frank, I have gone to the oven bacon thing, less mess, and you get some pretty crispy and awesome bacon. So I do oven cooked bacon. I'm here to admit, just so we can understand each other. I grew up in a fry bacon in the pan household. I have changed some things in my life, and I do it in the oven. But I still make it crispy. I am a crispy, I like bacon so crispy, if it drops from an inch height and hits the plate, it shatters. That's how I like it. Especially, and I like it just a little bit less for my BLTs. So the story here, so it doesn't have meta, yes. So get ready. Here's what I'm going to use to try to change the what I call soggy bacon eating in my house with one of my children. And I'll just send this email directly to them, and I can link it to you so you can send it to family members. A man walked into an Orlando hospital after his migraine medication stopped working for his excruciating headaches. Okay, that's pretty bad. The 52-year-old had suffered from migraines for years and had mostly been able to keep them under control with medication, according to a case report published in the American Journal of Case Reports. Heck of a read. But over the last 4 months, his headaches had gotten worse. Nothing seemed to be helping. His doctors started taking a medical history. Aside from his headaches, the man had type 2 diabetes complicated by nerve damage, high cholesterol, and was obese, according to the case report. So the guy's not exactly, you know, a picture of health. But the pain in his head had increased, but he didn't report any other neurological symptoms like seizures, numbness, muscle weakness, blah, 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 blah. They asked him if he had traveled, because now I think they're thinking about, you know, tropical diseases. They said the only traveling he had done, he'd taken a cruise to the Bahamas 2 years earlier, and he said he didn't eat anything out of the ordinary on that trip. However, he told the doctors, just I guess in their conversation, I don't know how the doctors got to this, but he told the doctors he spent most of his life eating lightly cooked, or as he called it, non-crispy bacon. Lightly cooked bacon. He was taken for a brain scan by doctors there, where doctors found multiple cystic foci or small cyst deep inside his brain tissue, according to the brain scan. They were on both sides of his brain, so he urgently was transferred to a neurologist for a closer look. There was swelling around the cyst, the neurology team noted, so the doctors believed the growths were from an external source, and they called it an infectious disease expert to look at it. So they ruled out HIV, RPR, syphilis, and ruled out cryptococcus, a fungal infection, toxoplasmosis, a parasite commonly spread to humans through cat feces. There's a whole world of interesting stuff about toxoplasmosis and rats, but we don't have time for that. One last test, though, for cysticercosis. I'm doing my best here. It came back positive. That means he had tapeworms in his brain. They said it's a disease that left a large impact on humanity in the history as distant as ancient Greece. The doctors wrote to them the connection between cysticercosis and pork consumption was plain, and pigs and swine were viewed as impure or unclean throughout the ancient world. Look back to the Old Testament, right? Look to the Quran. Look at the never eaten pig, right? That comes out of many of the monotheistic religions out there, the old ones. Well, it's because they had a lot of stuff in them, right? You had to cook out. The parasite, they say, most commonly lives in pigs, meaning that most people who came infected with it drank water that pigs had defecated in or ate raw or undercooked pork. They said the case here was different. The patient's lifelong preference for soft bacon led to instances of undercooked bacon consumption, but they said it would have caused him to develop internal intestinal tapeworm, not a brain tapeworm. Doctors suspect because a parasite somehow traveled from his intestines to his brain. This is nasty. Man likely infected himself when he failed to wash his hands after using the bathroom. We'll leave it at that. So they ended up treating him successfully with medication. The cyst decreased in size. Migraine subsided, according to the case report. So he ends up surviving. But they said the cysts were getting into him because they were not cooking the bacon fully. So if you need any help getting people to get crispy bacon and not that lightly cooked, what I call soggy bacon, go no further than, let alone an intestinal tapeworm, and then getting into your brain. So there you go. I don't know, can I transition, Dalton, from that story into, you know, whatever holiday or sports event's coming up, they always roll out stories. There's going to be a shortage of whatever. You know, it's a stupid, there's a shortage of Velveeta before the Super Bowl. Who will ever, this 4th of July, nobody can get watermelons, or, you know, whatever it is. Here it is for Easter. This from, it's on the MyNBC 15 website. It's one of their sister stations. It says, chocolate, eggs, and sugar see a price increase ahead of Easter weekend. They're just looking for stories at this point, aren't they? Said, And I did follow the story because we had looked at like the Coco story in the past, but it said Easter spending may see an increase in many households this year as a number of Easter favorites are seeing rising prices this year. Do you remember what you paid for Easter stuff last year? I'm not saying it's good that we had the inflation, but do you really remember what you paid for? I went out the other day and bought Peeps and chocolate bunnies and all this. I don't know what I paid for them last year. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the price, whatever. It says climate change in West Africa. So it's going to be a climate change story. Climate, instead of just the weather, like it's a drought or too much rain. Says climate change in West Africa is reportedly affecting the growth of the cocoa tree. A report released by Wells Fargo this year found the global price for cocoa shot up 75% from January to March. Says Stephanie Yates, chair of the University of Alabama at Birmingham's UAB Department of Accounting and Finance, says manufacturers are raising their prices to keep up. They said, to quote her, when we have this impact on a crop that is really just decimating the supply and the demand doesn't change, or we have double whammy that supply issues happen at a time when we just typically have high demand, there's nothing else that could possibly happen except for prices to increase. So it is the cocoa rising because of the climate change there in West Africa. Then it said climate change is also affecting sugar production. Futures for a pound of sugar are up 8%. This year, after rising 2.7% in 2023. I thought people were eating less sugar. All right, we get all the other, I mean, really? And they said the U.S. Bureau of Labor in February's Consumer Price Index for eggs shows a 5.8% increase. Well, that's for sure, at the average price of $3 per dozen. So there you go. So that now just cancel Easter. Cancel Easter because prices are up on chocolate, eggs, and sugar. That's why. So, just like these stories always come out like whenever there's a holiday. It's going to be just like AAA says, well, more Americans will be traveling this Thanksgiving than ever. Pack your patience. You know, whatever cliche thing they say. It's always like a no Velveeta for the Super Bowl. All right. To the text line here. Another bacon thing. This texter says, amen, Sean. We've gone to oven cooked bacon. Turns out crispier and less mess. I'm with you. Like when this, a couple of years ago, and I made the change to oven cooked bacon, I felt like I had to hide because it was different. I'm a prophet for it. It's the way to go. Oven cooked bacon, I'm down. Jason on the text line, the Cat Williams comments about Diddy and the things he was propositioned to do are wild. I heard some reference to that, Jason. I didn't. Cat Williams, who was in town Friday, right? Didn't he perform Friday? I wanted to do that, but we were at C-Lab camp. Cat Williams, very funny. But the Diddy stuff, here's the thing, and Erica is right, and I have made a career of not jumping to every conclusion and not, you know, not going with the court of public opinion, but there's got to be something here. It's not just that they're going after Diddy, right? There's all these other people that are getting, I mean, not only Cuba Gooding Jr., they now have got this preacher in Dallas, T.D. Jakes, pastor of Potter's House in Southern Dallas. He's invited. There's like a bunch of names. I'm not going to read all the details because it's gross stuff here. Maybe he's not guilty of. It's just got to be something to it. How could you have all these people named in it if there's not? And maybe Diddy's not. Maybe he's not guilty. These other people. I don't know. But you start seeing these names roll out like it's like a little mini Epstein list or something like that. Which, by the way, how's Ghislaine Maxwell doing? She's still alive. The names just keep coming out. Makes me think there's got to be something here. But we'll see. In fairness to my friend Erica, yes, you are innocent until proven guilty. It's crazy. But that's this great experiment we have here. David says the only thing missing from the P. Diddy story is alien lizards. Listen, the whole story's not out. We may have some alien lizards in the mix anytime soon. We don't know. Brandon says pellet smoker bacon. Now people have been trying to recruit me into the pellet smoker world and the pellet grill world. Got one of my buddies who does great work on them. I don't know. Just one more thing to put on the porch. I think they're cool, but I don't. Bacon on the pellet smoker, I bet you that's good. Ashley says, what kind of bacon are you eating? I'm eating whatever I can get my hands on. But yeah, we try to get, I get some Kaneka bacon. I get bacon from, Honey Baked Ham. I buy that in bulk. Any kind of I mean, I use Gwaltney, I mean, to wrap stuff up in, you know, but yeah, I've, whatever the thicker cut, good bacon is, but the best I've had, the Kaneka bacon's fantastic, and the honey baked ham bacon is fantastic. And Billy, when I can get Billy Stitz bacon from right here in Baldwin County, I get that too. So those are some of my favorites. If you got any other suggestions, let me know. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
That headline just popping up. That's not good. The cargo ship, the Dolly that struck the bridge, transporting containers with hazardous materials. Not saying exactly what hazardous materials. We'll see what they defined it as, but containers there on it. So even more problems for Baltimore there. Also, let's see, where did, there it is. The Diddy firing back, not literally, but as we talked about the Diddy, there's some story here that says he's blasting the feds' military-level force during raid on his homes, calling the investigation a witch hunt. So P. Diddy is now pushing back and saying it's a witch hunt. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens in this. It's going to be more distraction. Bread and circuses, right? Bread and circuses. Hey, also, tomorrow, I am out tomorrow. My buddy Cam Marston's going to be filling in tomorrow. So Cam Marston on the show tomorrow. I think he's got some special guest here. He and I talked about him, but I won't announce it because I don't know that the ink is dry on that. But he's going to be there, and I'll be back on Friday. So out tomorrow, back on Friday. And Friday, Caroline Dobson, AL2 in the runoff, you know, with Dick Brubaker. She joins me at noon on Friday. Then AL1's congressman, right now, AL1's congressman, Jerry Carl, is going to join me. Lots to talk about with him, what's going on globally, what's going on here at home. Also, Dale Leach from Lanyap is going to join me. So a lot coming up on Friday's show, but I am out tomorrow. But I know y'all will be kind, warm, and welcoming and all that good stuff to Cam Marston when he does the show for me tomorrow. All right, to the... Okay, thank you. Somebody on the text line said mineral oil-based. It's mineral oil-based, says the Coast Guard. Whatever the... what was in those? Was it in all the containers, just some of the containers on that ship? I mean, can you imagine the... I don't know where Baltimore ranks in ports. I don't know where they are on the list, but it's going to be probably fairly important. And I know, I think if David sent me a text yesterday, he said... Baltimore, there's a lot of cars coming in and out of there, I guess, in shipping, which, you know, I don't know from what factories. I mean, there's already some stories out there that we'll see some increase in shipping traffic out of the Port of Mobile because of this. How much, I don't know. But if this starts to become something of measure, I'll make sure to get somebody on from the port, and we'll talk about it on the show. Okay, yeah, here it is. David said more businesses might be coming to roll on, roll off automotive facility at the Port of Mobile because of shutdown of the Port of Baltimore. Baltimore is the largest import-export port in the country for automobiles. See, I did not know that. Thank you for the heads up. Oh, also, David asking, what were my thoughts on the management changes at Boeing? My thought, just the one sentence, what took so long? I don't know that that's going to solve their problems, but at least it's a start to it, right? That Boeing story, I don't think we're finished with that. And you know how bad it has to be. Like we talked about this last week, week before, how bad it has to be for the knives to turn on Boeing with the hold on the stones that Boeing has on somebody in Washington. If Washington starts turning on Boeing, you know it has to get bad when they turn on Boeing. I don't know what it means. For Airbus, I mean, you could specifically, I think in general, it's good, but it's also good to have Boeing. If Boeing would fly right, I mean, it's an American company. Now, they are in the state of Alabama. They're also, of course, big in Washington State. But Boeing is a big, I want Boeing to make planes that don't fall apart. I don't want, you know, my Homerism of being somebody with air, you know, that lives in the same city as Airbus. I want Airbus to be successful because I want Mobile to be successful. At the same time, I don't want, it's not like I'm out to get Boeing and want them gone, but I would like them to like have planes that stay together. And you look at even like carriers out there, that fly Boeing planes, their stocks are down. So, not just the Boeing stock, obviously. And I think, you know, there's several of y'all on the text line I know that think like I do. There's a buying opportunity at some point for Boeing, right? I don't know what the cost per share needs to get to, but there'll be a point where you act like a contrarian and buy Boeing. Supermom, thank you. Supermom, the fastest Googler in the East or West. Baltimore, the ninth port by trade volume. Significant. Now, how that affects, how much of that comes into to Mobile, we'll watch here. But it's going to be a long time. You know, it's I mean, to get that, I know they're probably starting, as soon as they get the ship secured and all that, they're probably starting with the contractors to get the sections of the bridge out of the river there. But I don't think that's a one-week process, do you? I think it's probably going to take them quite a bit of time, so we'll watch that. All right, back with you on Friday, Cam Marston. Tomorrow, Paul Feinbaum Show on in just minutes. Y'all have a great one.